Well, good morning, everybody. And hope Jesus has turned the joy into your hearts. We could have had a tambourine at the end there. Everybody's welcome to have a cup of tea at the end of the service in the small hall. And I commend you all the intimations on your sheet. Let me just highlight midweek worship on Wednesday at 11. The Guild has the Reverend David Watson from Largs speaking about an Indian wedding. I don't know if he's been to the Far East or if he's been to the Wild West. Thursday at 10:30, the congregation's prayer time. And on Friday, we have our Christian education at Audrey Scott's house. Just like to say congratulations to a couple of birthday girls, Helen Wilson and Isabel Grant. The Baptist Church is having a concert with Brian Houston, a singer and guitarist, on the 21st of February. You'll see posters on the notice boards and more details later. Could also give advance notice to all the elders. All the kirk sessions in the five congregations in the three towns, are invited to a meeting on the 17th of March, Tuesday the 17th of March. This is to discuss the future of the Church of Scotland in the three towns. There'll be meetings like these all across Scotland, but more of that later. These are all the intimations. Jesus says, "Fear not, follow me. I am with you always." Let us sing to his praise and glory in Mission Praise, hymn 200. Great is thy faithfulness. Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need in thy hand that provided. Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you.
God said to Joshua and the Israelites, "Be strong and of good courage. Be not frightened, neither be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let us pray. Almighty and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great faithfulness to us. No matter how we behave, even if we fail you or forget you or forsake you, you remain faithful to us. Sometimes we feel sheepish and frightened, but you are for us our good shepherd. Sometimes we feel weak and insecure like little children, but you take us by the hand and you walk with us step by step. Sometimes we're like a little frightened bird, but you bend down and pick us up and you heal our broken wing. We thank you that in this life, when sometimes we're hesitant and frightened, when we don't see a way forward, when we're frightened by what's behind us and what's before us, and we're a bit paralyzed, you are the one who comes and gives us a cuddle, who holds us and supports us and encourages us and gives us strength beyond our own strength. Sometimes when we're in a boat and we're all at sea and there's a storm, you are the one who stands up and calms the wind and waves and gives us your peace, the peace that defies the circumstances of life or death. Lord, be with us today. We all come from different angles. Some of us come celebrating birthdays. Some of us come grieving and mourning. But from whatever angle, we thank you that we are united together at your feet, disciples with their master. Grant to us all the blessings that come from having you yourself with us. Lift up our hearts and souls and spirits this morning, and may we worship you as you deserve, and may we serve you in a way that will please you this week. Give to us courage to face whatever lies before us, and make us strong in your strength, and give us the joy that the choir was singing about. You have put this joy into our heart that nothing can quench. So speak to us now and inspire us in your name. Amen. And hear us as we pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. How are you today? Good. You've got your shoe up at your mouth. You heard the expression, putting your foot in it. You've got your sweeties lined up. They're halfway finished already and we haven't started. You know that feeling in life when there's something in front that you're a bit worried about? Maybe you're worried about something this week coming up. And sometimes at the same time you're worried about what's behind. You get kind of squeezed. Well, it's not just people like that. Whole countries can be like that. This is a big weekend for our country. Have you heard of the word Brexit? No? Well, for 47 years, Britain has been part of the European Union. And this is the first weekend that we're not part of it. So Britain's decided to go its own way, and nothing's going to change just this week, but from now on things will change. And who knows how well we're going to do. As a country, we're a bit like a young person that's grown up in the house, and then they decide it's time to leave home, and they go away to college to study or somewhere else to get a job or whatever, or they go and get married. And it's a big step in your life to change the way it's always been, to go for a new start. If you look on the sheets in front of you today, there's a picture. This is a picture of Moses and the Israelites, the time when they crossed the Red Sea. So back across there on the other side is Egypt, and they were slaves in Egypt, but God took them out of slavery, out of Egypt, and they crossed the Red Sea. But when they got to the other side, it was just a desert, and they'd never been there. So they're facing the unknown, wondering what's going to happen. And all those people in a desert, who's going to feed them, look after them? And the story of the Bible is the story of this people, how they got on through the wilderness and into their promised land. But it's a story that's wider than that. It's about you and me. We leave things behind, and then we start a new stage in our life, and we're a bit worried about our past, and we're a bit more worried about our future. But the story is that God was with them. He sent them Moses to guide them. He gave them 10 commandments to guide them, and he gave them prophets and teachers. And over the years, God prospered them and watched over them and helped them. If you look in the back of your sheet, you see the picture of Jesus and you, or me, anybody. And the writing above the picture and below is taken from the Bible, and it's saying that in all the difficulties of life, the picture's very foggy in purpose, because you don't see far into the future, and we quickly forget the past. And the present's not always very clear. But all you need to know is that Jesus holds your hand, Jesus is with you, and you can face the future with him. He's been with us in the past, he is with us now, and he will be with us. But let me share with you what I mean in my own life. I once was totally lost in a forest, and all the trees were like Christmas trees, evergreens. So I was standing with a tree in front, at the side and behind, and hundreds and thousands of trees, and I hadn't a clue which way to go. So I just prayed, help. And then I chose one way. And I discovered that I wasn't far from safety. And in a few yards, I got out of the forest and I was back at where I'd started. Folk might say that's a coincidence. I don't think so. When I am lost and I pray help and I get out rather quickly, I put that down to an answer to prayer. As a young student, I was in California at Yosemite National Park. And we were in a car, and I said, stop the car, and I jumped out, and in my excitement, I ran up a hill in Yosemite National Park. The hills are really smooth. It's over centuries, sheets of ice rubbed away at the rock and polished the rock. So I ran up this very smooth slope till I was halfway up, and then I got stuck. I'd got up halfway by me running on my trainers with the rubber and the suction, like a fly goes up a wall. But I just got to the point where I'd stopped running and I stopped the suction, and I was feeling like I'm going to slide back down again. And I just stopped stationary. I couldn't get any higher, and I was scared I would slide back all the way and hurt myself. And I couldn't go sideways because I was in the middle of this sheet of rock. And I was just totally stuck. It's different from being lost in trees. I was stuck on a wall. Again, I prayed help. That's a picture of life when you don't know if you should go forward or if you should go back or if you should go sideways. And you're stuck what to do and how to do it. Well, I don't know how it worked, but I went up the way and I got to the top and it was a lovely view and I got down another way. But the last story is this. It just happened last Sunday. That's why I want to tell you. You know, I've spoken to you about my wee dog, Dougie. Well, the sad news is that Dougie died a month ago. It was the very first day of this year, January the 1st. Took him a walk on Ardrossan Beach. He walked the whole walk and he ran, everything normal. But by the afternoon, he was dead. Had to rush him to Glasgow Vet School. And it didn't take long for them to say that we can't save him. His back went wrong. So last Sunday, after the church service, Patricia and I decided today is the day we're going to scatter his ashes. And where better than Ardrossan Beach? So we went down to Ardrossan Beach and we waited for the right moment. There was a rough winter sea, but it was a beautiful sunbeam. Well, it was generally dull. There was this beam of sunlight from the sun all the way onto the water, glistening across the water, right to the spot. So we stood at this spot in the middle of the beach. The other dog walkers had gone to the other end. There was only two dogs, two walkers, and they were at the very far end. So we got the beach to ourselves with a wee spotlight, and then we threw the ashes onto the beach. And then we turned and faced the sea and the sun. And I said a wee prayer. And when I was just about to say amen, I felt something touching the back of my leg. Pat, pat, pat. And I looked down, and it was a wee puppy. A wee pug. Normally people pat the dog. This was the dog patting us. And you think about the timing of that. At the moment, this man and wife were saying bye-bye to their dog. Another little dog comes up and pats them, like a comforting hug. We got off the beach, and it's only a short ride from the beach to our house. But in that time, we were behind another car. The car was a learner driver. And on the top of the car, it had the name of the driving school. It said, Dougie's Driving School. Name of our dog. What a coincidence. When I got back to the house, I decided to do my exercises in the living room on my indoor bike. And I always watch a film while I'm doing my exercise, because it's boring otherwise. But I just watch a film in bits and pieces. So I put on my next episode, and the hero in the film had died, and the family were on the beach scattering their ashes. You don't often get that in a film, but just as I come back from the beach, on the film it's someone else at the beach scattering ashes. All of these are coincidences, are they not? But all of those coincidences on the one time, with the perfect timing, that dog patted me on the leg just at the last sentence of my wee prayer. And the beach had been deserted. I just believe that that is God sending little wee somethings all the time just to comfort us and to help us. If you look out for it and have eyes to see it and ears to hear it, you will see Jesus all through your life walking with you. And if you know that Jesus is with you, you don't need to worry about Brexit. You don't need to worry about anything. He will be with us past, present, and future. Jesus promises, as it says on the sheet, I am with you always. So let's sing about that. Let's sing hymn 417, God is always near me. 417. Another coincidence is that today is Dougie's birthday. He would have been 11 today. Now let's turn to the Word of God, reading first from Exodus chapter 14 and at verse 10. Exodus 14 at verse 10. When the Israelites saw the king, that's Pharaoh, and his army marching against them, they were terrified and cried out to the Lord for help. They said to Moses, "Weren't there any graves in Egypt? Did you have to bring us out here in the desert to die? Look what you've done by bringing us out of Egypt. Didn't we tell you before we left this would happen? We told you to leave us alone and let us go on being slaves of the Egyptians. It would be better to be slaves there than to die here in the desert." Moses answered, "Don't be afraid. Stand your ground, and you will see what the Lord will do to save you today. You will never see these Egyptians again. The Lord will fight for you, and there's no need for you to do anything." The Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out for help? Tell the people to move forward. Lift up your stick and hold it out over the sea. The water will divide and the Israelites will be able to walk through the sea on dry ground." And at verse 21, Moses held out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind. It blew all night and turned the sea into dry land. The water was divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with walls of water on both sides. The Egyptians pursued them and went after them into the sea with all their horses, chariots, and drivers. Just before dawn, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw them into a panic. He made the wheels of their chariots get stuck so that they moved with great difficulty. The Egyptians said, "The Lord is fighting for the Israelites against us. Let's get out of here." The Lord said to Moses, "Hold out your hand over the sea and the water will come back over the Egyptians and their chariots and drivers." So Moses held out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the water returned to its normal level. The Egyptians tried to escape from the water, but the Lord threw them into the sea. The water returned and covered the chariots, the drivers, and all the Egyptian army that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them was left, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground with walls of water on both sides. On that day, the Lord saved the people of Israel from the Egyptians, and the Israelites saw them lying dead on the seashore. When the Israelites saw the great power with which the Lord had defeated the Egyptians, they feared the Lord, and they had faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. And turning to Isaiah 41 at verse 10. "Do not be afraid. I am with you. I am your God. Let nothing terrify you. I will make you strong and help you. I will protect you and save you. Those who are angry with you will know the shame of defeat. Those who fight against you will die and will disappear from the earth. I am the Lord your God. I strengthen you and say, do not be afraid. I will help you." And from Isaiah 43 at verse 1. "Israel, the Lord who created you says, do not be afraid, I will save you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. When you pass through fire, you will not be burnt. The hard trials that come will not hurt you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy God of Israel who saves you. I will give up Egypt to set you free. I will give up Sudan and Sheba. I will give up whole nations to save your life, because you are precious to me, and because I love you and give you honor. Do not be afraid. I am with you. Amen, and thanks be to God. Let's sing the hymn that's based on that passage. 115 in the White Book, Do Not Be Afraid. We're at a very interesting moment on every level of our lives. This weekend, the whole world is a bit anxious about a virus spreading from China all round. 300 people have died already in China, and the first person out with China in the Philippines has died. And we're expecting people around the world to be affected by this virus. And we expect there to be other viruses in the future. We're a small global village, and what starts any one place can affect us all at any time. That's the vulnerability of human life. But this weekend also sees Brexit. We've got different views about it, but we're all really speculating. It's all to play for. Brexit is not done, it's just begun. Tomorrow morning, Boris Johnson meets the European leaders, and we begin negotiations about the future. How will it pan out? And just this week, I got a letter from the presbytery, yesterday in fact, asking all the elders to meet with all the other elders in the five churches that make up the three towns. And it will be across the whole of Scotland as the Church of Scotland is struggling really to survive as a Church of Scotland. They're trying to have 20% cutbacks in personnel and in buildings. So at these meetings all across the country, they're asking people to see how you can cut back and how many ministers you need and how many buildings you need. So a 20% cut for the three towns, but that will be true everywhere. These are uncertain days for the world, for the country and Europe, for the church. And we also have it in our own personal lives. We sometimes get squeezed between our past and our future. Sometimes we get stuck in a rut. Sometimes we can't get out of the bit. Sometimes we're caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. Sometimes we jump from frying pan into fire. Sometimes we're left unable to win between two unlikely choices. What do we do in these circumstances? Is there a word from the Lord? Well, it seems to me the word from the Lord is the crossing of the Red Sea. You see in the picture in the order of service, but use your imagination to enter into their experience for a moment. They were Hebrew slaves trying to get out of the bit, trying to break the old habits, trying to get out of slavery, trying to get out of Egypt, trying to escape their past life and get a better life, trying to Brexit Egypt. We all like to make a fresh start, particularly at the start of a new year. But as we face a new start, it can be a daunting experience. They tried to break from their past, but no sooner had they made the resolution and the commitment to boldly go where they'd never been before, to put one foot in front of the other and take the first step, one small step for man, one giant leap for each of them, with a courage required that they didn't maybe have. No sooner had they started tentatively to move. This is what happens when you resolve on January the 1st. There's always something to break your resolution. They looked over their shoulders and saw the Egyptians coming from behind. The Egyptians had had successive plagues and were glad to get rid of them. But then the plague stopped and they'd had second thoughts. They didn't want the frogs and the locusts, the gnats and the hail, the boils and the flies. But they did appreciate having slave labor, doing their dishes, their washing and ironing, cutting their grass. A society with no more automatic slave washers, no more slavery gadgets, no more time-slaving devices. Then the Egyptians thought better of it and chased after them to get them to come back. And whenever we try to move forward, there are some things pulling us back. And then there was this daunting barrier ahead of them, the Red Sea. Not a little stream, not even a big river, the Red Sea, with no ferry service, no cantilever bridge, no evacuation flights. Oh, for the wings of a dove. Oh dear, what now? Trapped from in front and from behind, ambushed by life, in a pickle. And worse than that, they had fightings within, fears within. They were under pressure. They could see no way out. And it was, "Don't panic, Mr. Mannering." But they were panicking. Doubts were creeping in, fears magnifying. Their faith was so primitive. When Moses said to them, "God has sent me," they said, "God who?" And all they could say was, "I am who I am has sent me." They didn't know this God. They didn't know Moses very well. They were new at this game, inexperienced, and the nerves began to crack. And we read, when the Israelites saw the king and his army marching against them, they were terrified and cried out to the Lord for help. And they said to Moses, could you not just bury us in Egypt? Why do you take us out to the desert to get us all killed? We told you to leave us alone and let us go on being slaves in Egypt. They even started to fantasize about how life was rosy in Egypt. They forgot very quickly. Isn't that how it goes? We're just started on a better path. The first problems come, and we decide maybe it's better just to go back. Better the devil, you know. There are people in Russia today who are sentimental about the good old days under Stalin and communism. There are even Nazis in Germany who think of the good old days with Hitler. How soon people forget under the pressure of adversity as they seek better life. Slavery in Egypt was no picnic. It wasn't an acceptable lifestyle. They had cried out desperately for rescue. Moses couldn't force them to leave Egypt. They had wanted to leave Egypt. But at the first sign of trouble, they blame Moses. They blame God. People say they've lost faith in God because of what's happened to them. Well, how much faith did they have in the first place? Growth and progress always require risks and pains and little deaths. No baby is ever born painlessly. We shouldn't expect it otherwise. No pain, no gain. Life is never a bowl of cherries, a bed of roses. But consider the alternative. Not growing, not living, just decline and decay. That's no pleasure either. No picnic. It's not even an easy life. Those that opt for the easy life find it isn't that easy. The question in life is, when we face the hassles, whichever way, are you going to face the hassles for a good purpose or a bad? It takes a lot of time and effort and dedication and money to build up a beer belly or to build a six-pack. It takes a lot of time and effort to eat healthily. It costs a lot to eat badly. It takes a lot of effort to promote fitness and exercise. But then it takes a lot of effort to do your therapy after your operation because of your ill health, because of your bad diet. Why spend the pains and efforts on life promoting what's an undesirable when you could spend the pains and efforts promoting what is a desirable? So things were catching them up from behind. A huge barrier faced them in front, and they were beginning to panic and buckle. And then they heard the cry to proceed. Moses said, don't be afraid. Stand your ground. You will see that the Lord will save you today. The Lord will fight for you, and there's no need for you to do anything. So God told the people through Moses, forward march. And the people thought, doesn't he know? Can't he see? Doesn't he care? Is he stupid? We can't go forward. There's a big wad of water there. It's impossible. It's hopeless. And then as they stood there, the waters parted. A miracle. God intervened directly. What is impossible for man is possible for God. He stemmed the flood. He paved the way. We all face moments of walls of water. I remember a lifeboatman saying, we tend to launch the lifeboat in the worst of weathers because people need rescuing. And we go out of the harbour mouth into 60-foot walls of water. We can't see the way through, but we're committed to trying. And we just go through that wall of water, into the next wall of water, and the next, and the next. We make the commitment on dry land to go for it. We just then do it. God can pave the way through. Isaiah 43. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I've called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. Because I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. Fear not, for I am with you. If Jesus had a catchphrase at all, it was fear not. Moses said, the Lord will fight for you. There's no need for you to do anything. Well, that was true to a point, but not entirely. It was true that God did part the waters, but they had to step into the bed of the water. They had to trust God to keep the waters apart till they got across. He will part the waters, he will pave a way through, but we won't get through unless we take the step of faith to take what's on offer. He doesn't take us out of the situation. He shows us a way through the situation. We never achieve our own salvation. Jesus did it on the cross. But we have to accept what he offers. We don't make the sacrifice on the cross. It's not our body broken and our blood shed. But we have to come and take the bread and the wine and swallow them. He offers us forgiveness. We can't turn the clock back. We can't put spilt milk back in the bottle. We can't fix it. But he can forgive, and we have to accept the forgiveness. He offers new life, but we have to accept the new life. He gives us the victory, but we have to go and claim it. The Hebrews were ordinary people like ourselves, caught in the same sort of crisis as we find ourselves. They knew fear and trepidation, doubt and despair. But God paved the way for them. And they took the step of faith and trust. And they did cross the Red Sea. And they did reach the promised land. So come and follow Jesus. He does all that's necessary. Like a little child with a big adult, put your hand into the hand of the man from Galilee. He will see us through, not out of. But it does require putting our hand into his hand and going. Take a lead in the dance of life from the dancer. He takes us from slavery to freedom, from sin to salvation, despair to hope, death to life. All we have to do, but it's not easy, is to humbly accept, faithfully follow, he who is the way, the truth, and the life. Now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you and Peter walked on water. But Peter had to get overboard and trust you. We thank you that you've always led your people through many troubled waters, but always in faith, by your grace, we get to paradise. So we commit ourselves to you today again. Take our time, our talents, our money, and our whole lives, and may we walk together always. Amen. Let's sing from Mission Praise number 746, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, here we are at the beginning of a new year, 2020. But we lack 2020 vision to see the road ahead. Here we are having Brexited from the EU, but we're not sure if we'll be able to make a success of it. Here we are with the Church of Scotland looking to make 20% cuts in ministers and church buildings right across the land. And we're not sure how it will affect us as a congregation. Here we are facing global warming and an international virus and infection, not knowing the full impact of these things yet. We can identify with the Israelites in the Old Testament as they moved out of slavery in Egypt into a wilderness period and an uncertain future. We can identify with your disciples after your ascension, wondering what the future held for your people on earth. Lord Jesus, you are our good shepherd when we feel sheepish. Lord Jesus, you are the only one who can calm our storms and help us to walk on water. Lord Jesus, who said, I am the way, Show us today the way that we ought to go. Lord Jesus, who said, I am the truth, show us this morning the truth that we ought to know. Lord Jesus, who said, I am the life, show us even now what real life is. Lord Jesus, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us strength beyond our own strength. Give us courage beyond our own bravery. Give us wisdom beyond our own knowledge. And give us life in all its fullness, as you have promised. Revive us, inspire us, lead us and guide us and enable us. Help us to get out of the bit, to burst our eggshells, to launch out, to follow you, to serve you, to please you. And hear us as we bring to you today our particular concerns. We pray for those who are ill. We think of Peter Curran, Andrew and Margaret Armstrong, Irene Crozier, Betty McFall and Harry Duff. We also pray for Beth McCracken, Molly Aitchison, Gloria Smith, Elaine Brown, and Margaret Curlett. We pray for your comfort and peace upon all those who are bereaved. We think especially of the family and friends of Ruth Carson, and especially her husband Duncan. We pray for the wider world. We pray for the people in China, where 304 people have died of this virus. A global public health emergency. Whole cities have been closed down. 50 million people confined to their homes. People are being quarantined all around the world. China's building whole new hospitals within days to cope. We pray for the Middle East, where America and Israel have overthrown the United Nations international laws, and 3 million Palestinians are isolated, ignored, and in limbo with no citizenship of any country. And we think of global warming, Thwaites Glacier in the Antarctic, the size of the United Kingdom, is melting and raising sea levels, which is now threatening islands and whole cities. And we pray for our own country as the Brexit talks begin tomorrow. We pray for Scotland. We reflect that alcohol sales are down since minimum pricing of alcohol started 1 year ago. And we pray for your church. As a presbytery, we think of West Kilbride Parish Church and the Reverend James McNay. But we pray for our own congregation, for all the churches in the three towns. We pray for the Church of Scotland, all the churches in Scotland. And we pray for your church throughout the world. Work in us and through us. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn 681 in the Red Book, In Heavenly Love Abiding.
And can I be dismayed? shall turn me back. My shepherd is beside me, and nothing can I lack. His wisdom never waketh, his sight is never dim. He knows the way he taketh, and I will walk with him. He pastures out before me, which yet I have not seen. Bright skies will soon behold me, where the dark clouds have been. My hope I cannot measure, my path to life is free. My Savior has my treasure, and he
may God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit give you light to guide you, courage to support you, and love to unite you, now and evermore.